Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory.
These are powerful words that we've just heard and read. Words that we will not fully comprehend, I don't believe, until we see him face to face. But nonetheless, what it affords us, or what it allows us to do, is to get just a peek into who we really are. You know, we asked our guests, what's your name and where are you from? I don't think that really tells who these lovely young ladies are in the front here. Your name and where you're from. We read that a few weeks ago when we got their names and where they were from, but we really didn't know who they really were until they came and stayed in our home these last 2 days. And it's been wonderful getting to know them. But we still don't really know who you are. And we want to know more. So, when we say, who are you? In America, what we do is, well, I'm an engineer. What kind of an engineer? Well, garbage engineer. I pick up your garbage every day. And we don't really know each other. And you know what? We sometimes don't even know who we are ourselves. Do you know who you are? Do you really know who you are? Does your wife know who you are? She probably knows more about you than what you know about yourself. After 53 years, there's nothing I can hide from Katie. But who are we? And when it comes to these verses, who are we according to what we read in this chapter? Well, I trust that all of us today when this message is finished, we will know who we are. Every one of us in this room, and even every one of you who right now are listening to my words in the future by tape. I'm talking to you, yes. You. Don't erase that off the edition you put up online. We need to know who we are in order to survive in the world that we have today. And you know, there's a lot of things going on, particularly when if you're on the internet and you surf and that kind of thing, with identity theft. Well, they're not really stealing who you are. They're just stealing what you have. But it's like they've stolen who you are. But there's someone who can bring us true identity that no one can take away from us, regardless of what they do to us or around us. We can know who we are. Now, the title of my message, if you picked up a bulletin or maybe it's on the... Yes, it is right there. Thank you, Kent. This sentence is a real English sentence. Those of you who English is your second language, it is mine, you know. Well, the first language I had was dada mama, but Katie's been able to also teach me some good English. We are who we are because of where we are. That's what we've just read about. Who we are is because of where we are. When we look at these verses here, Paul, by the way, there are two Jewish men who have impacted my life more than any two men in the world. Two Jews. One was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a Jew. And he has impacted my life since before I was 11. But at 11, I was introduced to him. And my life has never been the same. There's another man also, another Jew, who has impacted my life. So much so that I've read his works most of my life, ever since 11 anyway. And his words are incredible. Some thought he was a lunatic. Some thought he, because of his learning, he had just gone nuts, crazy. In fact, a king or a ruler said, Paul, you are just out of it. Paul the Apostle was a Jew. And his writings are incredible. Paul writes here, and you know, we can read this. I would challenge you, if you don't really know who you are, I would really challenge you, read these 14 verses at least once a day for the next 2 weeks. Read them. Read them over again. Get the meat, because you're not going to get enough from me today in just, well, yeah, I think I'm going to take probably more than 30 minutes. But you will need to really find out what the depth of what is being written here. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places.
I read too far. I was supposed to read just verses 1 and 2. Paul, first of all, calls us saints. And that's what I started with when I brought all of us to attention this morning. From the visiting and all the... I love that noise when you come in here and you're just talking with each other and reconnecting with one another. That is a great sound. Not just to me as a pastor, but, you know, to have the church together like this after you've been separated just for by a few days or maybe a few weeks, to come back together, we get something about who we are. But Paul says he wrote this to the saints in Tokyo. Well, Tokyo is the Japanese word for Ephesus. Tokyo is very much like what Ephesus was. Ephesus probably was never as big as Tokyo, but it was a port city. It had all kinds of religious stuff going on. It was very wealthy. It was a commerce city. It was a city that had many gods. Tokyo is very much like that. But Paul says to these people that were living there, a special group of people, to the saints. What was that? Saint Maria? Saint Francis? Saint... No, you know what? The Bible really doesn't say saint. Only in one place does it say the word saint. It says saints, 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 saints. It's a collective name, not a single name. It's not Saint Mary. It's not Saint Teresa. It is the saints. We are the saints. Those of us who gather here in Jesus' name and confess Him as our Lord, we are saints. I'm going to do something that Bob Kendig does. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, we are saints. Say, we are saints. We are saints. Okay, good. Did that feel good? It's kind of like, this guy's making me nervous. But that's our identity. That's who we are. Then it says, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, I forgot to pay my water bill and they cut it off. No, that didn't really happen. I'm sorry. But, you know, we're human beings. And we fail. I told you I was going to meet you at 10:30 and here it is. I was late. No, I'm not talking about that kind of faithfulness. In fact, we may judge you by how on time you are. We may judge you by what is, in our terms, the standard of being consistent and being good and being righteous and being right. That's not what Paul is talking about. He is talking about those who have placed their faith every day, every morning when they wake up, every time when they close their eyes and sleep. Their heartbeat, what is in their heart is the love of Jesus, just like we sang. That is what faithful means. We are in Him, and let's talk about that. And I want you to also, through this message, there's 5 points here where I'd like a response from you. I'll say, we are who we are because of where we are. Where are we?
In Christ.
Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Gave you the answers to all the questions. So you should all pass the test today. First of all, then let's continue reading and going on. Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. First of all, every spiritual blessing. Like I've already mentioned, our identity is not tied up in what we do or how we appear to be. Our identity is much deeper than that, and that is that we are in Christ. We are in Christ. And throughout this whole chapter, and in fact the first two chapters of Ephesians, Paul over and over and over and over again says in Christ or in Him, in the Beloved, over and over again. Why does he repeat that? Because it's important. It's repeated at least a dozen times. In Him or in Christ or in the Beloved. It's important to us. And I'll tell you why it's important for us to consider ourselves in Christ. I was talking to Pastor Hayashi yesterday as we went to pick up the girls, and well, actually the one girl that came late, and we had a good discussion. And we were talking about we as Christians and the expectations that we have for ourselves and also what we have for one another as Christians. And it's very easy for us as Christians to give the impression and even have it ourselves in our thinking that we have to work hard. We have to come to church. We have to read the Bible. We have to pray. We have to be smiley all the time. We have to be good. We have to do it right. That's the way you take the offering. This is the way that you live as a Christian. We have so many rules. It's impossible for anybody that has a brain to even want to become a Christian. Why would you want to become a Christian? And that's what Hayashi-san said to me. Really? He says, yes, in Japan. In Japan, it's really not a stigma to be a Christian. I'd always thought that in Japan it was a stigma. He said the stigma is that, you know, if you can become a Christian, that's good for you. But I could never be a Christian. I could never work that hard. I could never do what you do. But you know what? It's not just Japan that has that concept. America is full of those kind of Christians that think, I've got to work hard. It's up to me. When what Paul is saying to us here, no, you have been chosen. You had really nothing to do with it. Oh yes, you went to a Billy Graham meeting, or you went to a Franklin Graham meeting. Or you came to MCC. and you learned about Jesus Christ and His love for you, and you accepted Him. But that accepting was like that. It was a decision just to step over the line. It wasn't that you had to get up the hill in order to be able to become a great person called a Christian. And I think someone has said that the Gangkon is one step too high to get into the church. The Gangkon of the church is one step too high. Because we put all kinds of expectations on ourselves as well as everyone else. And that just is not the gospel. The gospel is, if you are in Christ, you are chosen in Him. You are chosen by Him to be in Christ. You really understand that? It was Him choosing you, not you choosing Him. And so you don't have to work at it. You just have to rest in Him and be in Him. Wow! That takes a lot of pressure off. That is the gospel. And if you think I'm making this up and making it very, very easy, no. Because the world is against us constantly. You don't do this, you don't do that, you're not really a Christian. Yeah, it doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It means I'm forgiven. He says that we're holy and set apart. Holy, what does holy mean? Does it mean that you're lily white and you've never done anything wrong? No. It means you've been chosen and you are set apart. You're special to the Lord, and especially to the Father, who loves to look down at His Son and through His Son sees you. How many times have I told you that the Japanese language is full of the gospel? You remember the kanji? What is the kanji that's in my head? You know it right now. Some of you are smiling. What? Gi. Who loves gi? Gi. Oh, gi is very good. Is that Chinese as well, Jen?
Yeah.
Okay. Gi, gi. Or else tadashi in Japanese, right? But gi. The sheep over me. Jesus over me. I am in Him. Not my righteousness, but His covering over me. And when God looks down and sees His Son, and I'm under that ware, or wa. Wa? 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 Everybody say, wa. He sees Jesus in His perfection. He doesn't see rotten Ron. He sees me as in Christ. That's where I am. That's where you are. That is the gospel. And then Paul says, blameless before Him. We have a lot of people, and not just people, we have some spirits and some thoughts that are constantly blaming us. You become a Christian, and somebody once said, you got a big target on your back. because the world hates the blameless. Just as they despised the Lamb of God, Jesus, they will also despise you. And so we stand as a target, but fortunately we are covered by Jesus. We are who we are because of where we are. Where are we? In Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. Point two. Moving really fast here. Verses 5 and 6. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he blessed us. Let's say it together. In the beloved. In the beloved. That is where we have been blessed. And we have become adopted. And many of you know my story of being adopted. And the idea of adoption is an incredible idea. How many of you are adopted? Good. Any other? Okay, let me tell you something. Okay, I forget your name.
Rick.
Rick and I are more privileged than anybody else in this room. We understand more than anyone of you, I think, what adoption is really about. Because we've experienced it. But wait a minute now, guys, or gals too. Let me ask the question again. How many of you are adopted in Christ? Ha ha! You know what we're talking about. Rick, they understand us. Once we were not the children of God, and now we are. Wow! What a privilege. What an honor to be in Christ. So we don't have to try to get into the family of God. We are in the family of God because of what He has done and how we have responded and how He has put His arms around us and brought us in. When God looks down and sees us, you know what happens? In John 3:35, it says, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand." The Father loves the Son. And then in 5:20, John 5:20, "For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself is doing." We are loved in the Son. Who is the Son? Jesus Christ is the Son. He loves all of us, not because of who we are, but where we are. Where are we?
In the beloved.
Wow. That's where we are. Tremendous. And that clock, would somebody stop that clock up there? I'm only on point three. And I knew, Jim, this was going to be longer than you keep telling me it's too long, but that's okay. You said repeat, repeat, repeat. Jim's a veteran pastor and preacher, church administrator, and it's really hard to have him in the congregation. But he's leaving in January, so the pressure will be off. But the only problem is he'll probably be tuning into my messages anyway, so I'm not going to get off the hook. verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, and making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth, where? In Christ. His purpose and his will is in Jesus Christ. From the very beginning of the creation, even before the creation, it was in Christ. Anybody of you ever heard of the Gospel of Genesis? I may not be in Genesis, but I'm not going to give up that book. Okay? That's what God had in mind. In day zero, before there was time, that's what he had in mind, was Jesus Christ. Our redemption and our forgiveness. Remember we talked about John looking in John 1:29 saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I've got a message in my hopper that's going to come out one of these days. And it's about the scapegoat. So if you want a little bit of cue on this, in your reading, if you are going through Leviticus, Bible Study Fellowship, what? Was in that, studying that. Well, anyway, about the scapegoat. You know what it means in English. He's a scapegoat. You know what that means? How many understand what that means? How many don't understand it? Okay. There was a special goat that was chosen. And once a year, actually, two goats were chosen. One goat was killed and sacrificed, and its blood was sprinkled on the altar. The other goat was taken to the priests, and they would put their hands on that goat, on its head, and confess the sins of Israel for a year's worth of sins. And then one of the priests would take that goat out into the wilderness and let it go. And it would wander around until it was dead or till it was lost and never came back. That's what it means when John was saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," or the goat, or the kid of God, who carries away the sin of the world. It's carried away. You don't carry it yourself, your sin. You may have feelings about it and memories about it, but the fact is, if you're in Christ, you have been, what? Redeemed. Atoned for. Paid for by the fact that those sins were carried away by a scapegoat. And Jesus Christ both did the sacrifice on the cross in dying for us, as well as carrying on his head into the wilderness the guilt and the sin of all of Israel, including ourselves, where we are free from our sins, but the goat takes it, and Jesus Christ is our scapegoat. And Lenin declared, "I don't want anyone," I think it was either Lenin or Marx, "I don't want anybody carrying my sin. I am responsible. I will carry my own sin. Thank you." That is so antichrist, because he came to bear away our sin. And that's what Jesus did in forgiving us. He has not dealt with us according to our sins or rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness to those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. How far is the east from the west? Come on, somebody must know, how far is the east from the west? What is it, 26,000 miles? No. That description is, you'll never find it. Because if you're going to go east, you just keep going east, east, and then you come and still keep going east. That's how far our sins have been removed from us, carried away. We are who we are because of where we are. Where are we? In Christ. We received an inheritance. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. The inheritance that we have has been provided for us before we were even born. That inheritance has been set aside for us. And so when we talk about our inheritance, it's in a similar manner that your dad or your grandpa or your great-grandpa set aside for his descendants. And that's what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. But in order to be able to get that inheritance or have it, to obtain it, we need to be in Christ. We need to understand that. And so your working and trying to be a Christian is worthless. Relax. It's already set aside for you. It's there in Christ. It's our inheritance. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Where I am, there you may be also. There's a place prepared for us. That's our inheritance. But you know what? I already have the inheritance. I'm walking in that knowledge and understanding now. Do I have it in my hand? No, I don't need to have it in my hand. I already have it. It is available to me, just as his son or his child. Just as his son, Jesus, that he says, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. It's God's will. He wrote it already. It's there. I'm on the last page now. Who are we? We are who we are because of where we are. And where are we? In Christ, in him. Verse 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Yes, we will be possessing that inheritance. But right now, there's a special thing that is happening in our lives right now. And that is that we are sealed, the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you got up on the screen yet, but just hold it. Oh, you got it. Okay. Anybody know what this is? Can you read this? Can you read it? This is omoi, to meditate. This is Lord, shu. Okay? And this bottom one, man, when the hanko maker came back with this one, I thought, I can't even read that. Any Japanese can read this? What is that? Ko. Wow. You are intelligent. In fact, the guy that ordered it for me, right over here in Hibaringoka, and he got it, and he looked at it and he says, "Oh, this is wrong. No, this isn't the right one. What is this? What? Shi su ko. Anybody here by the name of Shi su ko? I was at a ski camp many years ago up in Fukushima Ken, and we were having a great time, and it was supper time, and so we had gathered around, and there were a whole bunch of other, well, we had our youth groups there, but there were also some other Japanese schools there. And so have you ever been to a seinen camp? You know, they were kids from all over the place, but our group was Christian group, and so on the loudspeaker it said, "Shisuko-chan, denwa desu." And people were, "Shisuko-chan." I'm. We have the ahanko that says yes. You can read this su or shu. And anyway, our first convert in our first 3 months that we were in Japan, we were still in language. Hiro came to us and he said, "Can I live with you during spring break? I want to improve my English." And I said, "Yes, on one condition, that you will speak English and I will speak Japanese." It was a long month. And we spent after supper till sometimes we were even 1 o'clock in the morning before I came to bed, talking about the Lord, about Jesus, the Bible. And toward the end of that month, Hiro said, I want to receive Jesus. I want to be a Christian." And I said, "Well, I don't have enough Japanese to for you to really understand. I don't even know how to lead you in prayer." So I took him to my language school teacher, a dear, dear Christian guy, Nagahata-san. And Katie and I were in Katarizawa there in a cabin where we were living. And I'd taken him down to the language school to talk to Nagahata. And we prayed. I think it was about 3 or 4 hours. I said, "What's going on?" So I was so curious. I went down to the language school. By that time it was dark. And I looked in the window, and here the two of them were praying. And I thought, okay. So I hurried back to the cabin. And I said, Katie, I think Hero has come to Christ. I couldn't hear what they were saying, but they both had their heads bowed. And Hero came up about a half hour, 45 minutes later to our cabin. The look on his face was incredible of having come to Christ and understanding who his Lord was, who his Savior was. He became a dynamic Christian. And so, as a gift to us, before he went back to school, he came to me with a hanko, with this. He said, "You are a child meditating on the Lord." Who we are is because of where we are. Where are we? We're in Christ. And Hero was in Christ that night. Brand new Christian. Brand new believer. Someday I'll tell you the rest of the story of his life. But for the fact that all of us can be in Christ this morning. And if you have not that assurance that you're in Christ and you're still working hard to try to be a good Christian, and even if you have accepted Jesus, but you think that's not good enough to just, "Yes, I receive you, Jesus," think about the hanko. If you guys would take this hanko to my bank, you could get all my money. And I could never figure that out in Japan, how somebody can have a hanko and get all my money. But is that safe? What if they stole the hanko? Oh, in Japan you wouldn't steal a hanko. Oh, okay, that's the reason why. And I always wondered why our signatures weren't good enough in Japan. But I understand that this is the reason, because it's a guarantee. Whoever possesses it, whoever gets hold of my hanko, they're welcome to it. Because I know that I have the Holy Spirit, and it's as good as a hanko. He's as good, not it's. He's as good as a hanko. And someday, when I'm asked at the gates of heaven, "Why are you here? Why should I let you into my heaven?" I'll say, "I'm in Jesus Christ. I have the hanko. It's there." That's the simple gospel. In Ephesians 1. And this is what we as Christians, what's throbbing in our heart, our trust it is, after we've spent some time thinking of this. God bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Where are we? We're in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.